So welcome everybody to an All About Symbian Insight special. Nokia this morning released at their Obi store for most markets, for most devices across the world, to varying fanfares, brickbats and bouquets. We'll come to those in a moment. With me I have to discuss it.
Rafe Blanford.
And Ewan Spence.
There we go. There's obviously the world and their dog are beating up after Nokia's Obi door. Very appropriately this morning, and as a result a lot of Nokia services and services are being hammered, and there are a few glitches, but which are entirely to be expected. There are a few observations though we can bring to the table. For people who haven't really got into the Obi store, it's a way of downloading applications, customizations, games. Engage isn't there yet, but I presume that will come in time. The catalogues are very much being built up by Nokia as the days go on and the services rolled out. You can buy using your carrier billing at the moment in markets which support it, and I presume you can also will be able to buy using a credit card using a Nokia Obi store account. My initial impression is, if I can lead off with my, I've been seeing various errors, socket closed, operation could not be completed. I'm assuming these are because Nokia are changing over from their test servers to the real scaled-up work servers, and some of these things yet aren't in place. I expect by the end of today, that's Tuesday, that a lot of these things will have gone away. The actual amount of content in the store does vary according by device. There isn't a huge amount compared to the numbers we were originally quoted, but again, things are actually appearing through the day. It's a bit like the iPhone app store in the early days. You refresh it several times a day and you see new stuff each time. So again, this will change. There's no distinction in the store as to which items are native Symbian apps, which are Java. For the unclued up user, it can be quite confusing. Rafe, what were your first impressions on seeing the Obi store?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's a bit of a shame that Nokia haven't been able to plan it such that things go seamlessly. A few mistakes in inevitable, but given that the Obi store has been down a couple of times, at least for me, and judging by comments on Twitter and elsewhere, other people have been experiencing that too, and there's been a few certificate errors and things that you were talking about with the connection. And yes, and I'm going to say this at the end again, it's very difficult to roll out on this kind of scale in one go, but it's not a good first impression. However, of course, most of the judgments will come in the days ahead, so I don't think we should get bogged down in that in this particular podcast and talk about some of our impressions of how everything's working.
I think the fact that, the people who are hammering the Obi store and getting the application now are the diehards, are the internet tech heads, Garrett, and so on and so on. It just, these aren't the main market for this service, But I agree with Rafe. To launch on the big bank holiday weekend in the UK, Memorial weekend in America, and have it trickling out through Australia and then India and then Ireland and then the UK, to the point where in the UK some handsets were switched on before another, so there was like a 90-minute gap between Steve's 5800 and my Nokia N95 actually getting the store. Drop the ball, certainly in PR.
Yes. I have to say, just I would actually have done it in a more extended fashion. I would actually argue that rather than complain about the trickling out, I would have liked to have seen them roll it out in a planned way over the course of a whole week so that different parts of the world got it in different days. That would have extended their news cycle and news coverage and would have meant that they could scale up more feasibly.
The only thing about that is I'm not sure you can have any kind of service or web service that is not global from the get-go, because, the internet is placeless in a sense, and I think that applies to these kind of services. I mean, as I say, we don't really want to dwell on it, but I think there's actually some more fundamental problems with the Obi store application. But it's been interesting to see this come out, and I do agree with what Ewan was saying. It's sort of the tech heads hitting it, but the trouble is with that, of course, is it's going to create something of a negative buzz when you see, some of the big technology blog site reporting that it's not working, or people complaining in the comments and things like that. And it does stand it in contrast to, other application stores. The BlackBerry one was pretty successful, for example, and the iPhone App Store. And people are going to be making that kind of comparison. But perhaps we should actually move on to the application itself. And it's worth stating there's actually different versions depending on what handset you're on. So we'll try and talk about it in a generic sense. For the sort of S60 feature pack 2 and above handsets, everything's done through a web runtime. That also applies to some of the S60 feature pack 1 handsets, including the N95, I believe. And that's actually one of the reasons the N95 download is so big, because I think it's got some extra widget bits in it to make it all work properly.
Yeah, and you have to reboot the phone as well.
And that's right, you have to reboot the phone, which again isn't a great experience. But I think people probably underestimate the difficulty in rolling this sort of thing out to an existing handset user base. It's not an easy thing to do. And so I would cut some slack in that sense. But overall, as I say, must do better. But as we've said already, you really have to make the judgments in the, you know, I'd say not just days or weeks ahead, I'd say months ahead when you start shipping on devices. But so to move on, I'd be interested to hear from you, Steve, what was your first impressions of the application itself from a usability point of view?
I have to say my first impressions were on the 5800 where I first noticed it. And I don't think it's terribly slick on the touchscreen devices yet. And it's partly performance, partly the fact that I don't think Nokia have scaled things fast enough so that the servers respond quickly enough. It's partly the fact the application itself is quite slow. I mean, download was never exactly a speed freak, was it? And this seems to be in the same sort of zone. And partly because I don't believe they've got the touchscreen event handling right. And that quite often I will be trying to drag a page up and down to see applications further down the screen. And it would trap my initial a touch of the screen as a tap and then go into an application detail when I actually wanted to scroll. So I think they've got quite a bit of optimization there. And again, this is a version 1.0. I'm disappointed they didn't fix all these things in a beta, but doubtless they will get it right in time. So the three things, the touch, the performance. What about you?
Well, I'll ask you, Ewan, what were your first impressions?
Apart from the fact that I now get to use the classic European line, I don't do impressions, I'm a clinical psychologist. Yay! Waiting for weeks for someone to feed me that line on the podcast. I'm seeing very much echoes back to the original strategies of the two N-gauge devices that didn't work particularly well, which is we've got something out there. There's not a lot of content. It will build up over time. It will get better. Please bear with us. And I'm seeing exactly the same in the OV store. The original N-Gage launch had this, and we took 6 months before any games came out, and N-Gage had died. Then the next generation N-Gage platform came out and has spluttered, like Nokia forgot to pull the choke out on some old diesel-powered engine, and it's still spluttering. And now we've got the OV store that's come out here with the piecemeal launch, with the client that, when you stick it side-by-side to something like the iPhone App Store, is not brilliant, with poor content. And give one example. I went into one of the SMS preview applications, which said it was free. And then right down at the bottom, it said, no, it's free for 14 days. Then it costs 30 krona for 30 days. But I'm in Britain, and it's priced at £3. So the problem is your big screen doesn't let you have a huge amount of information. But it just feels rushed. It feels early, and it doesn't feel ready for public consumption yet.
Rafe, you mentioned fundamental problems. What are your beefs here?
Well, I might as well join in kicking the Ovi store while it's down, quite literally, actually.
Well, it's got to get up before we can kick it. So at the moment, it's just down.
Yeah, so as we said, try not to dwell on that. I just had some problems with the way that the client had been written as a piece of software, and it didn't feel consistent. It didn't feel like it had been very well tested. Just drawing out a couple of examples. For example, if you try and sign up for an account on the device itself, you have to enter a CAPTCHA, and just having CAPTCHAs on a mobile device is just such a big no-no, partly to do with, you know, the quality of the screen, but also it's just a very fiddly process. It's not very accessible, and it's just something I really dislike, and I think something should have been better done there. I mean, given that you could, in theory, access maybe some information about the phone, like what model is it or what's your phone number, surely you could use that as a confirmation thing if the idea is to stop robots, or, you know, there must be a better way to do it. And then I thought some of the more fundamental issues were just in the consistency of the way you navigated around the application. And drawing out one example of that, you know, we've got our sort of top level areas like games, applications, video. And fine, I think it makes sense dividing them into those kind of areas. I actually think the way they're switching between them is a little bit slow. It's sort of not as elegant as I'd like. And then you can filter the list that you're seeing by only showing paid content or only showing free content. But within that, we also have in the options menu the entries for categories. So why is that completely inconsistent with the top level areas, the way you switch there? And when I talk about categories, I mean it's within applications you see utilities or social networking, and within games you see arcade, puzzle, etc. And it just doesn't feel at all consistent the way you switch between them. Not helped by the fact there's also an entry for channels, which at the moment is blank and doesn't explain what it means. And I rather imagine it's for, you know, premium content partners or something like that. But, you know, that sort of thing should be fixed.
It should be a lot higher profile as well. Have it buried about eight points down in the options menu where almost no one will see it.
Yeah, I mean, I could just about accept having it on the options menu if it was one of the top entries. But really, I mean, I think it should be integrated with into the UI of on screen if that's the way they're going to do it, especially with the touch devices. Yeah. On the non-touch devices, maybe you can make an argument. You know, you see a similar thing in it has a search function, which is great, but why open up a separate page for doing the actual search with? You know, you could click on search and have a search box appear with a, you know, a button to activate it or whatever, rather than having to load up another page. Because it's all coming down over the web effectively, you know, you're seeing a website version, if you like, it does consequently become a little bit slow at times. And I think that will improve when there are less people using it. But it's not a great experience for people going in the first time and actually just trying to use it. And if you go through the purchasing process as well, there's far more steps than it feels like there really need to be. If you do a premium SMS payment, for example, there's at least four or five screens to work through before you actually have it. And then it goes on to the download process, which actually has been done pretty well. Once you download the application, the installer automatically launches, and yes, you still have the annoying installation confirmation dialogues that you tend to get with SIS files, but because everything's signed, they have been reduced. So that's one thing I think they've done well. And once you have downloaded it, the button in the store changes from download to launch, so you can at least launch the application straight after you've installed it. So I think they've done that bit of it pretty well. It just feels like they haven't really given much user testing or usability or efficiency testing to the store application itself.
I think actually, and I don't want people to take this the wrong way, but I think this is very much a testosterone designed application. This is very much a sort of male psyche in development. Is it, there's a list, it works, get on with it. And it's tried to put in lots of options, and there's been no beautification on the client. And I think this is, people are going to be looking for that. And the natural comparison is the iPhone App Store. But people are going to be picking up a very, very expensive phone, and on the first screen. So, for example, at the moment, it features the Star Trek ringtone with a bigger picture than everything else. Now, I can understand the rationale beside it. It's the featured app. It should be a bigger icon. But it puts everything out of sync underneath it. It looks stupid. The green bar at the top where you can switch between the filters, thus neatly sidestepping channels, categories, or Christmas, or whatever, just moves so slowly. I mean, when you look at the iPhone, and you can just flick switches, and it moves gracefully to the side with a bit of kinetic. Here, it seems to be going on a 5 frames per second animation. Same with the scrolling up and down the list. I'd expect them here, after seeing what Gravity done, to put in kinetic scrolling. It's just not there. The UI speed is slow. When it's going to be put next to other application stores, it's going to suffer. And the point there that, oh, lots of people are hammering the service, but it's okay, that'll calm down. No.
It doesn't fix some of the fundamental issues.
Yeah, and also the fact that when it gets out to more and more phones, the point now is Nokia are transporting millions of people into this store. At the moment, maybe it's in four or five figures, maybe 20,000 at the moment or so of people going into this, and it's struggling. It's wanting to go four orders of magnitude higher. And, I mean, how are they going to control the ramp-up? Unless they've got servers on trucks heading into Espoo, the ramp-up is going to be crippling. And as I said, it harks back to the original N-Gage launches for me, which is that it's a great idea. It just needs to stay inside and have some more rigorous testing for a much larger cross-section of people, and people that are willing to say, no, that's bollocks, to the project leader.
Yeah, I'd like to go back to one of the things I mentioned
which
at the
is
very
a shame,
start.
It's a good idea.
I'd like to go back to something I mentioned at the start, which is this thing, non-distinction between Java and native S60 applications, which may sound like a technical thing, but if you look at the content in the Obvious Store at the moment, especially under games, it's nearly all Java. So people, they've got a WSI, N95, N96, whatever. They go in, they say, oh, I've got Tiger Woods, I've got this, that, and the other. And they start downloading these programs, and they are essentially just Java games with almost lowest common denominator graphics and performance, and they really do suck, to for the want of a better word, compared to competitors on, for example, the iPhone. I think if they had a logo to saying Java games and next the native Symbian games or Symbian applications, native S60 or something to indicate that there is a huge quality difference potentially between the Java content and the native S60 content. Am I being too fussy, Rafe?
Yes, I think you are. I mean,
I think you are. So there's no distinction on that in the Engage client with the Java or C++ games that we have for Engage.
I think, you know, the point is about applications. You know, time was when you could really tell the difference. You look at loading time or icons. These days, it's pretty hard to tell the difference between a well-written Java application, a well-written C++ application, a well-written widget. You're always going to get bad applications in games and content. So I think judging it by, for example, the language it's written in, which most people aren't going to understand the sort of difference between that anyway. So I think that may be a power user technical red herring speaking there.
All right. Or maybe it's the fact that there are quite a few Java games in there which are quite old Java games and which aren't very good. Maybe they shouldn't have been there at all. But there we go. Another point is, do you know if there's an auto check for update? There obviously will have to be updates to the Obby client application. Will people have to look out for that and re-download manually, or is it built into apt update on S65th edition, or is there something built into the client? Anyone know?
I would imagine.
Stay with us. Same bat time, same bat channel next year.
It is built into the app update, I believe.
Hey.
But I've just, while we've been talking, I've just been having another look at something. Now, I bought a game earlier, and because it was falling over, the download didn't work. So I thought, oh, well, that's all right. I can just download it later by going into My Stuff thing. And yes, I went into My Stuff and said, yes, you downloaded this game, but no, we're not going to let you download it again. Here's a link to buy it again. And that kind of problem is, I suspect, going to irritate a few people who might be using the service this morning. But we've been giving it a good kicking. So can we all try and find something nice to say about it in the next few minutes? And I'll start with you, Ewan.
It's not Gordon Brown.
Okay. Anything that's actually related to maybe the Obby Store?
The simple fact that it's here. Let's be honest. We've complained about the client. We're complaining about the UI and the interface. What we're not complaining about is the underlying fundamental mechanic, which is you go online, you find something you want to put on your phone, and it goes on your phone. The basic chain that is needed from a developer's PC or Mac or whatever, out to a server, down to the customer, and then the flow of the money back through that chain to the developer. That is actually pretty solid. Okay, yes, there will be people going, but it needs to be signed and you need to sign up or be a member or something. But the fact is, this is the first indication of Obby being an actual door that works both ways, and it's a door for somebody else. It's a door for developer to the user. So the simple fact that it does work, and it works for 80 to 90% of the use cases, is a really, really good thing. On a subset of that, the fact that it's not just games, the fact that it is other content, that it is wallpapers, that it is multimedia tracks, that it could well be podcasts and video podcasts, useful for us. It's space for themes and things. The fact that it realizes that a phone is more than just applications, it's media. Yeah. And I think over time, that's actually going to be quite a big benefit over just a straightforward application store. So let's not forget that the fundamental building blocks are here. Unfortunately, although the foundations are good, we seem to have built the Tate Modern on top of it.
I think my positive thing I'd add here is that I was pleasantly surprised that it was rolled out for existing S63rd edition feature pack 1 devices like the N95 class devices. I wasn't necessarily expecting that. I thought it might be one of these things that starts their 65th edition and maybe feature pack 2 and maybe goes back one day. To roll it out with support for, I think it's almost 70 devices they reckon, although some of those are at least Series 40, to roll it out with all those devices on day one was quite impressive.
Yes, I'd agree, and I would underline, you know, we've been talking about plenty of criticism here, but it's a very difficult thing to roll it out on that kind of scale. For me, talking about the positives, I mean, I agree with what Ewan was saying about the fact it's finally here. I was just having a quick look at some of the recommendation features, the sort of social location element of it, and I don't think we've got all of that there, and I think we'll probably see a future version of the client sort of build some more of that stuff in. But it was just starting to recommend some of the stuff I was quite interested in based on what I looked at already. So I think that has a lot of potential rather than having to look through long lists. It'll just float stuff that I'm interested in to the top. And my very first impressions of that, and it is very early days, are positive. The other thing I would take away is we have complained about how it works, but on a very basic level, if you just use it at a top level, it is pretty easy to use. You know, you have this icon on your phone, you go onto it, you can get some content and download it easily onto your phone. You're not having to mess about with doing it via PC. You know, the pricing stuff is quite clear in contrast to download. You know, you can get stuff quite easy. There is bits and pieces built in to enable it to all happen fairly smoothly. And there's lots of room for improvement, but it is a big step forward. And I think we're going to have to review this in, you know, a couple of weeks' time, in 3 months' time, when it starts becoming widely available on devices out of the box, and then 6 months, 9 months. And, you know, Nokia are playing catch-up. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, slow and steady sometimes beats flashy. I just think it might have been better if they'd left it another month or so, maybe even a bit longer, and just, you know, really dovetailed everything so it fitted much better together and had a better, you know, client experience. I think it's very typical of Nokia's pain in transitioning from a sort of device-based company to one that also does software and services. And it sort of contrasts with Apple, which has been very strong in both for obvious reasons with its history in computing. And, you know, it's all the frustrations that we've come to expect in some ways with the Nokia software and services. But on the other hand, they are rolling this out to what will be millions, tens of millions of devices by the end of the year. So wait and see. So initial frustrations, which is perhaps par for the course with Nokia, but the potential is certainly there.
Yeah. One cosmetic thing. I hope the Nokia team are listening. You know, the progress bar, which we're all seeing a lot of at the moment, it goes backwards from right to left. I can't help thinking a progress bar which moved forwards from left to right, I know, might make more sense. I know in some cultures they write from right to left, so maybe they're just being politically sensitive here. But
maybe you're looking in a mirror because mine's moving from left to right, Steve.
No, mine's is moving from right to left here, actually.
There we go, then.
Although, which version are you using, right? So there we go. Consistency, character, and catch-up being the watchwords that we have here for the OV client, then, yeah?
So I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. We've doing it very much on the fly as we've just had the first bit of time to play with it. So do excuse us if we've repeated ourselves a few times in this podcast. And although we're, I think it's fair to say, we've given it a fairly good kicking of the tyres, we still love the idea. We just wish it could be just a little bit better.
You had me at kicking.
Okay, we'll see you guys on the next regular podcast. And it's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
Goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford.
And goodbye from me, Ewan Spence.